to this service. The Lord bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I pray that I pray that you will hear a word from God today in Jesus' name. You know, something happened that during the week, someone came to see me, and then this individual said, "Oh yeah, I came because the Lord spoke to me during the message on Sunday when the guest pastor was here, and then went ahead to tell me what the Lord told this person during the message." And I was thinking, I was in that service. The pastor said this, and because of what the pastor said, that is why I am here today. And I was thinking, I sat through that service, I took notes. He didn't say that to me. You know, and that's how you know that the Word of God is a spirit. No man can pastor you. Only God can pastor you. So he said, "I will give you a shepherd after my own heart." But it is God that does the pastoring. He does the feeding. If at the end of any service, if you ask 20 people what they heard, you will hear 20 different versions of the same thing. Because as the Word of God is being preached, God knows you. He knows you by name. God knows your problem. God knows your concern. You are not just a number. You're not just a statistic. Now, organizationally, it may look like you are just a number. Organizationally, it may look like, well, you know, we're all here. Everybody's happy. Nobody knows what I'm going through. But that's not true. The Holy Spirit knows you. He knows the heart of every man. And so first, I want to let you know that you should never at any point think that you are alone. And you should never at any point think that you are without care. And you should never allow the devil make you think that nobody will miss you. Do you understand? The Bible says that you are beautifully and wonderfully made. God does not make rejects. No. Everything God creates is complete. Everything God creates is complete. I remember many years ago when the church started, I always tell people, I say, please don't be like me. Do not be like me. I know they say, but they try and be like your pastor. Be like me in spirit. Be like me in spirit. But don't try and look like me and try and sound like me. If I have my choice, I won't sound like me. Amen. But God knows you. And so every time we come together like this to hear the Word of God, I want you to always prep your heart. Never joke with the Word of God. Never joke with the time of worship. Never joke with the time of the Word. Because God is always set to do something in your life. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And my key word today is distraction. He said, "I will give you a shepherd after my own heart." And so this way it normally goes. I always ask the Lord, "So what will you want me to teach your people?" And I will pray over it, and I will mull over it, sometimes, yeah, you know, the funny thing is there are so many times I come up here and and God just changes the whole subject altogether, and I will bounce up and down, and I will teach and people come and say, "Wow, totally different." One of the things that makes us unique as a church is that this ministry is not a cookie-cutting ministry. We don't just chunk things out. That's one of our strengths. And people ask me, "So how come the church is growing? The church is in Kent and the church is growing." I say, "Well, church is growing because we are led of God. God brings his people and God feeds them." Amen. I'm just the donkeys. And myself and my fellow donkeys, all the fellow pastors, ministers, all our workers, you know, the pathfinders, we are all the donkeys that God uses to bring his will to pass. So please, take the word that God wants me to bring to you this morning is to advise you to avoid distraction. To avoid distraction. I want to avoid distraction. This is your weekly focus. Avoid distraction. Avoid distraction. That's the word for someone this morning. The dictionary describes distraction as that which divides the attention or prevents concentration. That which divides attention or prevents concentration. Your destiny is too beautiful to be ignored. And if your destiny is as great as you have imagined it, which I also believe with you, it means that you should give it attention. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, the Bible says, "And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." It's been very interesting. This weekend, I told everybody, brace yourself, because Hurricane Brian, is it Brian? Briani is in town. And then the wind will come, and the noise will come. But the Bible says that, and after the wind, an earthquake, a lot of noise, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. My brother and my sister, you have to learn to avoid noise in your life. You have to. You have to. Because you are in this world for a purpose. You are a promise going somewhere to happen. You've got to put premium on your life. Amen? You've got to. You've got to learn to avoid noise. God is not in the noise, so don't let noise distract you. God is not in the noise. Don't allow noise to distract you. Anything that divides attention or prevents concentration, you've got to be alert. You've got to be sharp. You've got to be alert and sharp spiritually at all times. At all times. And the Bible says in verse 12, "And after the earthquake was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire was a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, and he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entry of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what dost thou do here?" Listen very carefully. Many of us are seeking for the will of God. Many of us have things we want to achieve. Many of us want the hand of God upon what we do. Many of us are seeking the face of God. But until you get rid of distraction, you can never hear God. Distraction can rob you of your destiny. There are so many people who opted for a course of action, and because of distraction, they have taken the wrong turn. There are so many people who opt out for a course. At the beginning of this year, right, you had a plan for yourself. And I know we all do. You usually have a spiritual plan for yourself. At the beginning of this year, you said probably you read a verse a day. Maybe you said you will pray every day. Maybe you said you will. There are certain choices you opted to make. And I'm telling you, you came into this year fully prepared. This same time last year, you were fully prepared. You were ready. You had a flight plan. You had a flight path. But my question to you today is that, are you walking that plan? The plan you have in front of you today, was it the plan? I understand there's a place for adjustment during the flight. But are you still walking that plan? Or have you abandoned the plan altogether because of distraction? Have you stopped praying because of distraction? Have you stopped fasting because of distraction? Listen. Distraction will wreck you before the devil gets to you. Distraction. 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 Luke chapter 10. And there are so many of us that God, right now, God is speaking, but you are too distracted. A noisy soul cannot hear God. A noisy spirit can't hear God. A noisy soul and a noisy spirit always lacks compass. A noisy spirit always lacks compass. And you need the compass. You need the compass. Praise the Lord. Read through the Bible, you will hear, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord. That is the order of your life. In everything, thus says the Lord. A noisy soul lacks compass. Show me a man who falls into trouble. I will show you a man who was distracted. Distraction can rob you of a great decision. Distraction. Every single day, as a born again spirit filled Christian, God is dispersing packages of blessing. Every single day, God is churning out blessings. Every single day, He's raining upon you His blessings. If you imagine, the Bible talks about the windows of, it says, prove me now if I will not open the windows of heaven, right? I personally believe that the windows of heaven is permanently opened towards His saints. And things drop from that window. Your responsibility is to get a bucket and be sensitive enough that whenever a package drops from heaven, can you imagine if God is dropping something from heaven, right? And then you have prayed. He said, if the cloud is what? Full. So over a period of time, at some point, your cloud will be full. At some point. And every day, because of your longevity on this path, and because of your consistency in prayer, and because of the seeds you have sown, every day something is due. Every day something is due. Every day in this nation, every day in this nation, a baby is born. Every day. All over the world, every day, a child is born. So every day, because of consistency of activity and because of consistency of repetition, every day is a due date. Today is a due date. But the question is, will you have your basket positioned? The window is above you. The window of heaven is above you, spiritually. And so you don't be like me. We went to New York. And then by the time we came back, I had a whiplash. Because all I did for 5 days was... I mean, those guys are wicked. Every building is 80 stories. I mean. So you spend 5 days doing like that. Does that make sense? But that's your posture spiritually. And then because you are sensitive, you don't know, I say every day, 24 hours. So, spiritually, you look up, far left, your blessing is dropping. What do? Grab your basket. Yeah. Now, there are some lazy people, right? They will say, I can't just start holding this basket all the day, so what I will do, I will keep it. Does that make sense? I will drop it. So when I see the blessing coming, then I'll just grab my basket quickly. Yeah? And then run towards where the package is, isn't it? But while he's waiting, right? You see someone, and then I don't know if you learn in New York, there's so much distraction. Somebody somewhere is doing, you just stand. And then you just see someone by yourself just talking to himself. Right? And then while you are waiting and you are wondering, why is he talking to himself? Right? The package drops. Because you are distracted. There is a noise. You are distracted. There is a wind. You are distracted. There is a fire. You are distracted. So the reason why we are not where we ought to be is not because God has not released the blessing, but could it be possible that you have missed yours? Could it be is it possible that you could not collect everything that God dropped out of his windows of heaven for you because of distraction? Distraction. I want to make up your mind to eliminate distraction from your life. In raising your children, there will be distraction. The children themselves can become a source of distraction. In running your homes, your marriages, there will be distraction. The marriage itself can become a source of distraction. Are you listening? Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha, bring up the scripture, please. But Martha was, but Martha was what? Distracted. Much serving. And Martha was distracted with what? Much serving. The service became a source of distraction that she could not recognize the reason for the service anymore. Look at what she said there. Lord, do you not care? That's a rebuke. Do you not care? In other words, I thought you are the master. I thought, so don't you care that my sister is left me alone doing all this work? Doing all this work for the Lord? Don't you care? Why don't you just sit down there and just watch me? I thought you will challenge her. You should know I'm the senior sister here. And I mean it's okay for me to be doing all the work, for my sister to just sit at your feet and be listening to when I'm running up and down like a yo-yo. I mean, don't you care? Distraction will make you make a wrong decision. Distraction can make you turn against those that God has ordained to help you. Distraction can make you turn against those. Who is Martha accusing of not caring? Eh? The very reason why she was serving in the first place. So jokingly, I always tell our church, I say, we are a very loving church, we are a family church. I say, but always remember, especially when people come and tell me, oh, pastor, I want to serve in church. This is my rhetoric. Listen, when you look at us from outside, we are very perfect. But once you come inside, you start saying blemishes. I always say that, listen, always make sure that you serve by the grace of God. I said, remember when you came to this church, you came alone. So stay focused. Because you can be distracted by your fellow servant. Does that make sense? And forget the very reason why you were serving in the first place. You can be so distracted that the very purpose, your original and God-ordained purpose for that journey can be aborted. You understand what I'm saying? And it happens all the time. You see, distraction is a very potent tool in the hand of the enemy. Because it doesn't look like a weapon. It doesn't look like a weapon. Verse 41, Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and you are worried and troubled about what? Many things. I am not the reason for your problem. The reason, this outburst is totally unnecessary. The truth of the matter is that you have been what? Distracted. See, you are worried. In other words, something is taking away your attention. Something has robbed you of your attention. It says you are worried and troubled about what? Not one thing. He said many. Many. So distraction can make you turn against the Lord. I say, well, you see, he doesn't care. If he cares, I've been praying about this thing for a very long time. He did nothing. And here am I. I wasted my time serving God. Wasted my time in church. Once upon a time, I was a church rat. Look at me. I'm not a church rabbit. There's some blame. Yeah. Look at me. I knew it. He doesn't care. What kind of a master will sit down and watch me serve selflessly over all these years and not reward me? And Jesus is saying, listen, you are worried and troubled. In fact, it is that worry and that those concerns that have nothing to do with me or your destiny that robbed you of your request. Does that make sense? Distraction is dangerous. And distraction can come from anywhere. It can come anytime. The thing about distraction is that it's like that. It's like that. I don't know. When it comes out, it comes very innocent, colorless, odorless poison. And so distraction will always catch you off guard. Always. Distraction will always masquerade itself. Distraction can masquerade itself in good works. In good works. What was Martha doing? Was he wrong? No. To ask for help, was he wrong? No. No. But she was distracted. She was distracted. And then Jesus said in verse 32, said, but one thing is needful. In other words, God is saying, you've got your priorities wrong. You've got your priorities wrong. I need you to arrange your priorities today. Once your priorities are misplaced, it means you have been distracted. Misplaced priority is an evidence of distraction. Does that make sense? And it can come from home, it can come from anywhere, it can come from your friends, your so-called friends, it can come from associations, it can come from, you know. So he says, so Jesus said, look, listen, only one thing is needful. And that one thing you need to have the rest of your life sorted, your sister has got that. She got her priorities straight. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha was very busy. She was stressed out by the demands of life. She was angry. She was upset. Every time you feel angry, you've been distracted. Every time you feel stressed out, she's distracted. She was burnt out. And there are so many people who are burnt out just doing life. If you are burnt out doing life, could it just be that you've been distracted? You know something? The moment you are doing what you are not ordained to do, right? You can't have the energy and capacity. It's called an extra load. Yeah. Does that make sense? So we all function within a capacity. If you find yourself getting tired, getting weary, just so this is, I love the Bible, I love Jesus, I love the Word of God, because it's just a manual for living. Every time you find yourself stressed out, it means that you are biting more than you can chew. It means you don't have grace for what you are doing. It's obvious that Martha had no grace for what she's doing. If you have grace, you won't turn against grace itself. If you have grace, you can't turn you can't turn against grace. And Jesus came as grace. So you can't claim to be serving out of grace and be against grace. No. No. And you know something? By the time you've worn yourself out, you can't hear God. You've got to avoid distraction or you won't hear God. There are so many people who have made the wrong decision because they did not hear God or did not hear correctly. They went with the thunder. They went with the lightning. They went with the wind. It's in the still, small voice. I read the story of a guy who was applying for a job. So there was this job, they needed someone who can decode a piece of code, who can decode it. And it was oversubscribed. And they were looking for a way and so on. And they said this job will require maximum attention. So a lot of people showed up for this interview. They were all in a waiting area. And then so while they were waiting, like in a doctor's surgery, they were all waiting to be called for an interview. And so there was a screen like that, right? Like was a screen in that hall, massive screen. And so they were all chatting, you know, all everybody was just getting along with themselves. And on that screen came a very bold lettering. If you can read this, come to the office, the job is yours. Did you get that? On that screen, boldly written across, scrolling across, if you can read this message, scrolling across this screen, come into the office right now, the job is yours. Only one person saw it. Only one person. So the boy saw it, got up, walked to the office, had his interview. 2 minutes later, the MD came out, shook his hand, and said, well, thank you all of you for coming. The job is taken, his job is... So everybody went, oh, no, that's unfair. Oh, Lord. And I said, what's unfair? We said this job requires attention to detail and observation and analysis and decoding. Did you see that? How many of you go for interviews? And then when you get there, you see your mother. Sup. Tough day, innit? Tough day. How long have you been applying? Well, I've been applying for a long time. How about you? Have you seen people like that? Yeah. They can't sit still. They can't sit still. Yeah. They say, I almost got this coming here. Who asked you? I am praying that my God will not make you get here on time. You are telling me. Does that make sense? We say it's highly competitive. You are telling me that I almost didn't make it. I say, hey, my God, why did you make it? Yeah. Have you seen people like that? They just watch and they can't. Some people just can't. They can't sit still and just be quiet. You must learn to sit still and be quiet. It's a spiritual discipline. A noisy spirit can never advance at maximum speed. A noisy spirit can never. If you think you are doing 40 miles an hour now with a noise, I'm telling you that you could be doing 90. If you are doing 90 right now, you are feeling happy and you think that your time has come, you could be doing 100. A noisy spirit is an undermined potential. Can't sit still. Can't sit still. How many of you will want to build a strong tower and will not, first of all, what are you doing? We are building this tower. Ah, really? Ah. Lord, help me. Ah. That's it. Month one, month two, month three, month four, month five, and then month five, God says, My son, you don't need blocks for this building. You need bricks. Thank you, Jesus. And I will fund it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Month 7, nothing. Month 8, nothing. Month 9, nothing. Month 10. Month 11, my son. Right? Can you wait? The moment it comes to your spirit that you want to build the tower, by the time you get the blueprint, right? Spend the next 5 years, no energy. Energy. You do it in your career, do it in your family, do it in your marriage, do it raising children. Many parents don't have a blueprint for their children. I said, many parents don't have blueprints for their children. They don't have the blueprint for their kids. They don't have. They don't. Couldn't wait to collect it. Does not have the capacity to sit to receive it. Because motherhood is more important than destiny.